Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a pre-Halloween Be Our Guest podcast trip report. We hope this one isn't too scary for you. We hope it's just a lot of fun. We have listener Tim standing by to share an amazing story. It's a great way to kick off a week. Take a virtual trip to a Disney destination. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. We've been talking about this website and these two great books here for a couple of years now. And, you know, the holiday season is rapidly approaching. I hate to say that Halloween's this week. And then before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving and then Christmas time. So if you want to get something really special for that Disney fan in your life, and it could be yourself, but it could be your significant other, somebody in the family, somebody you just want to introduce to the things Walt Disney did as a person and the things he brought to the world, check out the two great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You got The Wisdom of Walt, the original book focusing on Disneyland, and of course the newer book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, which focuses more on Walt Disney World and what Walt wanted to do moving forward from Disneyland. The best part about these books is that they are not only a little Disney history and kind of give you your Disney fix, they're also inspiring and they help you, they give tips to get the most out of those relationships that you have with coworkers, friends, family. They are great reads. You might want to read them time and time again, so check them out today. Great stuff over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded parks to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of a couple of those Oogie Boogie cupcakes I saw on Main Street USA just on social media yesterday, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,400 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. And for those of you that have been with us from the beginning, happy 1,400. That is a lot of podcasts. So even if you picked this up in the last week or two, but if you've been here for the past 10 and a half years, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us the time and going on virtual trips with us on Mondays, suffering through some great questions and giving us the great feedback on Wednesdays. And who knows what Fridays are good for. It's just Pam, Ricky, and I shooting the breeze and talking some Disney. But thanks again for your support of the show. Couldn't have done all these episodes without you guys spreading the love and being there three times a week with us. We're very grateful for that. So let's get on with today's show. Let's start the next group of 100 shows, and we're going to head down to Walt Disney World via the way of Austin, Texas today with Tim. Tim, how's it going?
It's going good, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Talking Disney on a Monday. You can't beat that. So how are things going here a few days before Halloween down in Texas? Because we all know everything's bigger in Texas. Is Halloween?
Yes, definitely a bigger. We finally almost feels like fall here. Finally got a cold front end, so that's nice, especially compared to the mid-90s we've had since it actually has been fall. So it's starting to feel like it should be Halloween, at least.
Yeah, same here in St. Louis. It had been just hot as anything, and then all of a sudden, like, somebody snapped, and it was in the 30s in the mornings, and, you know, it's kind of a harsh transition, but I guess that's what you get in the middle of the United States. You know, I'm going to take it because I'm sick of the hot weather for a little bit.
I agree.
All right, so let's talk about your trip. We're going to, you know, have some fun here, and this one's pretty recent, and it's got a lot of kind of variables to it and a lot of fun stuff. So what are we talking about today?
And also a lot of hot weather for,
there, there you go. Absolutely. I was there at the same time.
Yep. So we ended up going down. We drove this time to down there in July and hit up a little bit of everything. So I'll just start from the beginning. One of the first things, just as a side note, something that me and my wife are trying to do right now, we're both big baseball fans. She's very happy with about the Astros. By the time this comes out, I'm not sure if she'll still be happy. But
no, that's the this time of year, it's kind of the danger of saying, yeah, I love how my team did. And then it's like they choke in four games or something. Yeah.
But we're trying to hit up all the stadiums. So since we were driving the day before we started our main Disney trip, we went over to Tampa, which if you do like baseball and you have a car, you can get really good seats at that stadium for very cheap.
So let me ask you about that, though, because I, you know, obviously I'm a huge baseball fan, too. And I know Matt Parrish, that's like his team. You know, he loves to give me a hard time. He hates the Cardinals. I don't know what it is. He hates the Cardinals. But, and I know you're a former St. Louisan, so hopefully you've got a little Cardinal love.
Oh, but, a lot of Cardinal love.
good stuff. So let me ask you about the Trop real quick. I mean, what's that like as a baseball venue?
We actually had a lot of fun there. It was just a little, it just felt very empty, which is what sort of the reputation it has. Not a lot of people there go, but we're able to prepay for parking, parked super close. It's enclosed, so no matter what the weather is, it was storming there, which happens all the time, but we were fine. Had refill your own soda, had some fun stuff with, they had two mascots that are kind of fun, lots of interesting food options, but we were able to just not too far ahead of the game. We were like three rows back from like the foul pole, like much better seats than we normally can get anywhere. And just see a baseball game. So we were happy with it.
There you go. You might've been like the seventh person to be in the bullpen. You never know. I mean, if there were that many people that could have called on you to pitch the seventh or something. That sounds cool. I have kind of the dream of hitting all the ballpark someday too. I'm really curious about Miami too. That park is, but for some reason, it's like all the gaudy colors and the art and the fish behind the backstop and all that stuff. It's like calling me, even though nobody goes. So we'll see. You been to that one yet?
Oh, we have not. That one, we're trying to figure out when to get down there. This trip, we actually did Tampa, and then at the end, we were able to drive a little extra and go through Atlanta on the way back.
All righty. Yeah, and they get a new ballpark every 20 years. It's kind of scary. Anyway, let's don't talk. I know Jared's enjoying this one, who writes for the Wall Street Journal. Hopefully, he's listening today and enjoying our little baseball talk. Well, let's get back to the Disney trip. So you guys went down, drove from Texas. How's that drive from Texas to Florida?
We had done it one other time, and the mistake we made that time was the way back, we drove it all at once, which is about 19 hours. Ooh. And after the amount of activity you do in Florida for one of these trips, sitting that still in a car for that long was painful. So we decided we were definitely not doing that. The baseball thing was one of the ways we were splitting it up. But we stayed in Tallahassee, saw my aunt there, and then stayed with some friends over in near Canaveral, went to Tampa. So we tried to split it up as many ways as we could. To make it a little bit more manageable. But it's a lot of the same road for a lot of the same time. So we do pretty good with road trips, so it was all right for us, but it's not the most exciting drive.
Yeah, no, it's really never too exciting once you do it more than once. I can tell you that. I've seen all of Georgia. So, it was fun the first time and the first couple. All right, so who was with you when you got to Disney? Like, what was your traveling party comprised of once you all got there to tour the parks?
So at the very first thing, it was just me and my wife. And we were getting annual passes. So we went by before anyone else was in town to the studios. Tower of Terror is her favorite. We were doing that right away. And I wanted to take some extra time to see Toy Story Land just because I know I was going to be nerding out on my own and didn't want my niece and nephew to have to sit around for that. So we went in to Tower. We had a fast pass, I think, for the saucers. Had lunch at Woody's Lunchbox. And actually, during all of that was one of the, could have been very bad, but one of actually the greatest memories or moments of the trip. So right after we got off the saucers, it was one of those moments where you're in Florida and it's like, I think it's going to rain. And then like they turn on the movie effect rain that everything is just drenched immediately. And so we ran for it and we're about to leave the park. And my wife realized that her wedding ring wasn't on anymore.
Oh no.
And this is like the first, it's like the first day of the vacation. We just had a downpour, all this kind of stuff. Start freaking out. So we started retracing our steps, went back over. We figured it was either while we were having lunch or somewhere on the ride. That was our best route. And we asked a few people for help. And this is, for me, one of the things that makes me always happy to be down at Disney and one of like those small things. It wasn't just like someone like took down our information. It was like, well, if they find it, we'll let you know. They like called out every manager they could find. We had some of the people in Woody's Lunchbox that were like getting out gloves, started going through trash just in case we had left it over there. They ended up, every time the riot stopped for the saucers, they had like five people run in and were checking every single cart, and they found it.
Holy
it was inside the one of like the cushiony parts of one of the seats for the cart we were on, and one of the managers found it. And so it was one of those things where it like went from the roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, man, right on the first day too.
I mean, right on the first day, like the first thing we did. And so like sort of got all that out of the way. So, and we were super happy with them. And it was actually, I just to give an extra shout out because they deserve it. Cornell was the person who found it, but down there, Reba, Wes, Sadia, Tori, there were lots of other people that were helping us just doing above and beyond anything that you could actually reasonably expect, but they were happy to do it just to try to help us. And so we were very, very just over the moon for that.
Man, I love when we are able to give shout outs to cast members that go above and beyond, because so many of them do that. And, you know, we just, they don't do it for the recognition. They just do it because it's their role, it's their job, but it's great to be able to give recognition where we can. So I'm glad to hear that it all turned out that way, because, I mean, can you imagine if you wouldn't have, I mean, because, you know, right at the front of the vacation, I mean, the whole tone of the trip that you've been looking forward to for so long is so different if that doesn't come out that way.
Yeah, I didn't want to think about it then, and don't want to think it was no, like that would have just been.
So you mentioned you went over there, just your wife and yourself, Toy Story Land, because you kind of wanted to nerd out and check out the land. So what were your first impressions? Because it's not a perfect land, but to me, it's a fun land.
It's very fun. I grew up, like, the basement of my house had Christmas lights everywhere. So, like, whenever I see, like, any decorations that, like, just randomly hanging Christmas lights, I enjoy that. I think the spirit of Toy Story and, like, of a lot of the Pixar stuff, they really got down. Walking in, seeing a talking Woody, being able to have, like, all of the colors, all the little, like, touches of the umbrellas, some of them made out of, like, old wrappers of things, like just all of those little things I think are really, really cool. We ended up over the course of the trip riding all three of the rides. We of course had done Midway Mania before. The Swirling Saucers was my wife's favorite out of the three because it's just different. It's the concept is simple, but it's a different sort of thing than we've had before, and they did it well. I really liked Woody's lunchbox. We don't eat meat, so it was basically the cheese sandwich, but that with some tots and cheese sauce was great. And so the shade is a thing. The amount of cover is a thing. That's definitely, by the time we got there, it was only a few weeks after it opened, and they already had a bunch of temporary umbrellas everywhere. Mm-hmm. Because from all the things we heard from right when it opened, but I really liked it. I think it's definitely worth going to. Definitely helps the park for some of the types of rides we didn't have before, and also the food. So I was really happy with that as a new offering at the studios.
Yep, I agree on almost every point. You know, it's Woody's Lunchbox is interesting. It's fun. I just, you know, I know that it's just with it being outside, it seems to me to be more suited towards a Disneyland, you know, or California, the climate, because it rains so much. It's so brutally hot, you know, for 5-6 months out of the year in Florida. I almost wish that venue somehow could be like in a big air conditioned tent or, you know, I know that the aesthetics wouldn't be the same, but you know, that's kind of something it's challenging sometimes the year, but you know, when you just like observe it, it's beautiful, you know, it's well done. And I do like all the little touches. So let's talk about, okay. So you go in there, this whole episode happens, just you and your wife. So what do you do next? Are people starting to arrive, and where are you guys staying for this trip?
So that actually the first part of our trip was actually Universal. We just wanted to take that for ourselves first. So we went over, and my parents had already arrived around that time. We were staying at the Royal Pacific, so we're meeting up with them. The other part of our travel party was my sister and her two kids. They were flying in on Allegiant, and there were a few issues with their flight. They did get in that night, but they were delayed several times, and so we were meeting up with just my parents first. And one thing I do want to mention, just so I don't forget, it was my brother-in-law. One of the reasons we did the trip in July, because usually me and my wife, we don't have kids. We normally don't travel over the summer in the middle of that time. Was my brother-in-law is a school administrator, and that was when he could get off, but he doesn't really like theme parks. He's not that kind of guy, but had been planning with his sister and his mom to go on a mission trip to Uganda. And so they were doing it this time, and we decided to do everything at the same time so that neither one of those would like be happening at a time without the others. And so he was really excited to be able to go do that while we were down in Florida doing what we want to do.
That's a good idea, though, you know, just kind of make the, you know, like, let's take advantage of all possible scenarios, you know, and everybody's happy at the same time.
Yep.
Except that you're really hot. There's that. But it's okay. It's just as hot in St. Louis, just as hot in Texas. You may as well be hot and having fun, even though you're probably not outside 10 hours a day. That's why I look at it. So let me ask you real quick about Royal Pacific. Okay. For those that don't know over at Universal, this is the hotel that, you know, when I talk to folks about it, and I've been to Universal, I've toured the hotels, stayed at Cabana Bay. Royal Pacific kind of reminds me of the Polynesian at Walt Disney World. So what were your thoughts of staying there?
That's sort of the feel that you get. There was some of like the, especially the outside, it's very pretty. There's, it does give you sort of that, I guess the Polynesian style feel, both sort of generically and not. You get in there, they give you lays when you check in. There's a bunch of water features. It's bright. We did not spend a ton of time there, but as a general, It was just sort of nice and kind of a happy feel for that kind of thing.
Nice. So what'd you think of Universal as a whole? Because you said you had been there like a long time ago when you were like 10 or 11, when it had just opened, and really the only thing you thought was kind of still around was E.T., which is my favorite, you know, because I'm an old dude. I don't know. But I mean, what'd you think? Because you're a Disney fan over at Universal, kind of a, you know, in a strange land for us, you know, hardcore Disney fans. So what were your thoughts?
So the main thing with Universal was the reason we were doing it all was the Harry Potter stuff. We are all Harry Potter people, and it was just the opportunity for us to go over. And so that was the main focus. There were some other things we did along the way. We did hit some of the other rides. We just tried to take advantage of some of that kind of stuff. But the main purpose was Harry Potter, and that stuff was all great. When we all finally met up, when everyone was there that night, first thing we did all together was dinner at the Three Broomsticks, which was, everyone really enjoyed that, especially for me being a vegetarian. That was the meal I was probably most nervous about, because we knew we wanted to eat there, but traditional like British food, it's not super vegetarian friendly. But the combination of the random sides and stuff, it was all, everything tasted great. We all got ice cream headaches from frozen butterbeer. It was just a good time all around there. And generally Universal, that part of stuff we liked. We did have the advantage, since we were staying at Royal Pacific, of the Unlimited Express Pass, which definitely helps over the summer. There were plenty of things that we probably wouldn't have even tried to do if we had to wait in full lines for everything. And so we did appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you, as somebody who doesn't know a thing about Harry Potter, I could appreciate the lengths that they went to theme the land. I mean, there were so many little details that I didn't exactly know what they meant, but I knew that they were significant, you know, to the story. And, I really enjoyed it. I didn't do the crazy ride, but I did the, I can't remember the name of it, where you saw the snake. Or guy, or I don't know, whatever. I didn't do the one that makes you, that has as much motion, but the kind of the middle one, the train or something. It was kind of like, but I enjoyed it, you know, and I enjoyed Universal. It was fun. Now let me ask you this. Okay, so my favorite thing really was E.T. and I liked the Mummy. Those were my two favorite attractions. If you had to say like a top three, what were your top three experiences over there?
Definitely top would be the Escape from Gringotts, the newer Harry Potter ride. I think the combination of roller coaster elements with the screens, with all of that, was super interesting. And also, they did the Harry Potter theming really well. The attraction-wise, probably also in a top three would be Spider-Man. Hmm. That was done super well, too, of being really interesting, fun, fast-paced action ride. And deciding on top three, the third one, maybe Jurassic Park. The sort of effects there, the story, especially the moment at the end with the T-Rex and the drop, at that point, we were already completely soaked because we had done some other stuff before then. But all of those were done super well. As a whole, like the themed area of the Harry Potter land, I think would be definitely a highlight. But attraction wise, those I will say the crazy one, the Forbidden Journey, like Escape from Gringotts, I wrote three or four times, I think. Forbidden Journey, I did once. We were doing a writer swap with my nephew, and we're trying to decide who was going to go again. And I was like, nah, I'm out.
I
normally don't have any problems with, like, we wrote the Hulk, like Tower of Terror all the time, all of those things. Never have any problems. I was like, I felt so weird coming off of that ride that I just needed to not be there for a moment. And I never got sick. It's just, it was a lot more body intensity than I was expecting. I don't know if that's the right way to put that.
No, that's a good tip, though, for anybody that's going over there. I mean, that's why I like to have the show, because especially for Disney fans going to Universal, because sometimes, like me, you haven't been there and you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I did do the Escape from Gringotts. I like that. That was the one. That was the one I was trying to go for. And okay. I didn't do the one that almost made you ill. So that's yes. It's a great perspective. So I want to make sure we get the Disney stuff in here before we get too long. So where'd you guys stay over when you went over to Walt Disney World?
Yeah, so we ended up, after about another day of Universal, we went and we were staying at, my wife and I are DVC members, and we've let my parents borrow or rent or whatever points several times before and gotten them very spoiled, so now they don't want to stay anything but DVC. Mm-hmm. So we want to take the opportunity to stay somewhere new and stayed at the Wilderness Lodge, and we all did Copper Creek.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so nice over there.
Yes. I never been over to the Wilderness Lodge before that I can remember. It was the one place we had when we've done like visits for other just to do resort hopping. We just have never ended up over there. That will not be a mistake anymore. It is fantastic. It was just that feeling that you get there. The design I really like, because where our home is Animal Kingdom Lodge, I like that sort of the same designer style. But just the feel of the lobby, the amenities there, just the overall mood, even the music selection and the background loop, like all of that just was fantastic.
And I just got the background loop for today's show. There we go. So that's what we'll have. I love it. So walk us through your accommodation, though, at Copper Creek, because the units over there are just, because they're some of the newest units, what they have done is they've learned and learned and learned. And I mean, they've refined and they've made it nicer and the aesthetics are beautiful. I mean, what did you think about your accommodation over there?
They were really nice. We were in a studio, so we were just in the one room by ourselves. The sort of design was nice. We had a view of the, actually the Boulder Ridge pool. We had a view of that. We were on that end of it. And very comfortable. The newer updated rooms, if I'm remembering correctly, they did have wood floors instead of the carpeting, which I prefer that. And overall, just sort of it felt like it was the right mood for the resort, but also new. That's kind of hard to wrap around with like the rustic, new, modern, but I think they did it really well. My parents ended up, they were all stayed together, my parents, my sister, and her kids. They were in a two-bedroom, and much more open, lots of extra nooks and crannies, lots of extra like tubs and sinks and random stuff like that and meeting areas. And so I think they did a really good job with balancing out the types of rooms and how to utilize the space that's over there.
Totally agree. And it is funny. I mean, you said it perfectly, where the aesthetic of this place or the design is that it's kind of rustic but fancy at the same time, you know, modern. It's got everything you need, but it looks like it belongs kind of in the woods, which is kind of a strange combination, but I love it. It works for me.
Definitely.
All right. So tell us about some of the fun times in the parks, because we want to get to that, maybe not necessarily sequentially, but just like memories you have. Like, what were some of the highlights?
Yeah. One of the first full days we had was at the Magic Kingdom. And I will say that with all the security stuff that we go through, one of the most advantageous things that we found of staying at Wilderness Lodge was taking the boat over and having that be our security line. Mm-hmm. Because it's basically the people on your boat with you. And it's so much faster. And it was just very, very nice. One, as a tip, especially over the summer, we knew that there was going to be a few times where all of us were going to be together, and we had annual passes, we had the photo pass. We wanted to make sure we got some group pictures and tried to get them first thing in the morning, because even like sometimes an hour into the day, you already start feeling disgusting, especially in July. So while we're still all awake, we're still all happy, we're not overly heated, wanted to get those nice family moments captured.
That's a great tip. You know what? But you almost got to take them as you're leaving the park if you can find somebody, because it's like the before and after. It's like, this is what Disney does to you.
Yes, definitely.
I like it.
There were a few, some of the things we liked. My wife's favorite is Eeyore. So we always do Crystal Palace. This time we did it with my parents, but we did it for dinner, which we had never done before. And so I'm, again, always sort of reluctant on some of the buffet places. I should know better by now that how great Disney is, but I'm always nervous about the amount of vegetarian options we'll have, and should not have worried at all. It was fantastic. Still like the breakfast, but that was a really nice moment for us. One of the other things that they were doing, the whole incredible section. So we spent some time over in Tomorrowland doing all of the little special picture, taking advantage of the memory maker spots over there, that they had lined up. So that was fun for us. I also was taking the opportunity. They just launched the Play Disney app, to playing around with that. And we, especially sometimes when we got stuck in line, being able to do some of the trivia together as a group, even with having seven of us together, that was something that we could all do together pretty easily. And it definitely did. It was fun because we're all kind of into that, but it made the time pass faster.
I agree. That app's a great, I think the thing is, it's got a lot of potential to grow too. I mean, we were there in July as well. We were there actually the day it launched and messed around with it. But one of the greatest things that I found about that app is the Apple Music integration too, you know, because I think, again, you know, I've always had Magical Mouse Radio, you know, we've had the station and park audio and stuff like that, but there's really something that calls you back when you hear a theme to Tomorrow, to like a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow from Carousel of Progress, or, you know, just a theme from an attraction. I think that's a way that, if Disney's smart, and it seems like they finally turned the corner on this in the last 6 months, that, you know, that's a great way to link memories to your product, and people want to come back and experience that time and time again. So I hope they do more of this.
Yeah, definitely. And for that sort of also brings up one of the things for me, even with trying to figure out schedules for several different groups with different needs, one of the things that we were trying to do for us also with this was just try a bunch of new stuff. So I mentioned the dinner. We saw Divine for the first time. I don't know how many times I've been to the Animal Kingdom, but finally saw her, which was super cool. Went to Rafiki's Planet Watch for the first time, which maybe the last time. Who knows what's going on with that?
No, it's back. It's back as right now. We'll see.
Yeah,
next
it's back as for right. We ended up, one of the things that my sister and I worked out was we got everyone the Illuminations dessert party. So we had never done a dessert party before, for the Frozen after thing. And that was a fantastic experience. We reserved it on like the first day it was open. So we had some of the most central seats. The kids had lots of fun with like the nitro popcorn, trying to make it look like they were breathing out smoke. But having a seat where you can have a clear shot of those, without having to fight for it, it's worth the money for me on its own. Everything else is just bonus. I will say that when you're in Florida in the summer and it looks like there might be rain over your dessert party, and then the taiko drums start playing the other side of the lagoon, it is not the best feeling. It's like, okay, is that thunder or is that taiko? That kept happening.
Knock it off. You're messing with me. So, that's, you know what? I think it's going to get more and more popular. Those Illuminations is, it's in its last gasp here. I think people are going to want to get a good spot finally. Like, you know, this might be my last time seeing it. Let's do a dessert party.
Definitely. And if you can do it, if you can swing it, I definitely think that one is worth it. Again, haven't done any of the other ones, but there you have the same table and seat for both the eating portion and the watching portion. And it was great.
Nice.
One of the other new things that we were able to do that I was happy that was still going on was it's a DVC only thing, but they are trying to do more like special activities, especially in Top of the World. And one of the new ones was called Painting with a View, which is kind of like one of those places where you get wine and someone teaches you how to recreate some painting. But all these are Disney paintings and it happens in Top of the World. So we went for that. The painting that day was like a sunset boat scene from Moana, which they take you through it and for the hard parts have stencils. But it was just a lot of fun. It was relaxing, something very different, a very unique setting. Go out, look over the whole Seven Seas Lagoon area. But just we're really happy that we're able to try some of those new type of things during the trip.
I'm glad to hear Disney's doing things like that for DVC, for annual pass holders, because you know what? I mean, I've always said this on the podcast, you know, DVC members are invested on the highest level possible as a Disney fan. So there should be some perks and some activities and some kind of camaraderie of the folks that are DVC members. And I'm glad Disney's doing that. They've been reaching out to AP holders and having a few events here and there too. I mean, that's good to hear because here you are talking about it a few months later. And it was one of the things you bring up from the trip.
Oh yeah, definitely. And we were, whenever any of those things happen, I'm always like, please last until my next trip.
Exactly, like, same way.
Want this thing to happen. One of the other things I did also want to mention real quick was that I started with people being so great about the finding the ring, that there were a few other times where we had to ask for help. Like my sister and my niece got stuck on a ride once, and trying to deal with that after the fact. We had some issues with the app and some other trying to fix some things. And everyone who we talked to was just trying to be as helpful as possible and make the experience as great for us as possible. So we ended up with some extra fast passes out of some of those things. They moved things around for us to make it so that we could be together certain times. And while that always isn't able to happen, I think it's just indicative. They are trying very hard to make the experience as good as possible for guests, and just asking whoever you can for help, if you actually need help, it's something that people should not be afraid to do.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Tim, because, you know, for me, I get very frustrated, especially when it comes to Disney technology. You know, when it comes to the My Disney Experience app and things like that, I always tell myself, like, Disney pulls off these amazing experiences like Flight of Passage or, you know, just the incredible experiences you can have, how themed it's going to be with Galaxy's Edge and the things they bring to life. Yet, like, I can't see my fast passes, or like all of a sudden they're gone. You know, it's like, how can Disney do that? But the thing is, I got to tell myself when I go to guest relations to try to get this problem resolved so I can continue on with my day, that it isn't the, you know, the college student that's behind the counter or the, you know, retired person who's working there. They didn't write this app and they have no idea that it crashed. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't take it out on them. They're just trying to make my day better. They're trying to resolve the issue. So I think that's one of the things you got to, as a guest, and I'm glad you brought that up, is that it is super frustrating. I get it. These trips are expensive and they should go off flawlessly, but when they don't, it's not necessarily the person you're talking to's, you know, like, they're not the reason that that happened in most cases. So cut them some slack too. And they're going to try to, you know, resolve things as best they can.
Yes, definitely. I think we're getting pretty close. So one of the last things I wanted to mention, as a new thing that we tried that I've been wanting to try forever, but when it's just me and my wife, it's not at all, not that it's ever practical, but it's definitely not practical, was we all went to Beaches and Cream and were able to finally get the kitchen sink. And even with 5 adults and 2 kids, we still didn't finish it. But and we were trying really hard. But something that we had never thought, one of the other things that we were sort of held up on, we finally just asked, is like, my wife doesn't like mint and chocolate. One of the ice cream flavors is mint chocolate chip. I really don't like pineapples. One of the toppings with pineapples is that they'll trade out anything you want. Like, the standard is the however many scoops of ice cream and all the toppings. But if you, like, really don't like bananas, they'll leave the bananas off and give you something else. So as with anything, again, it's a lot of fun. It's tastes really good, but just ask if you need something and don't just assume they won't do it for you, because a lot of times they will.
Yeah. Years ago we did this. I mean, Paige is now a senior in college and I think she was 10. She was about Mallory's age, maybe a little young. She might've been 7 or 8 when we got the kitchen sink and, oh my gosh. First of all, we got it straight up. We didn't know you could customize it. And it was like a coffee flavored ice cream, I think. And I'm not I don't like coffee at all. Like it's just bitter. And I remember just, there were like six of us or four or six of us. But the thing is, like, you got to eat, just pro tip for kitchen sink, you got to get after it right away because after about 10 minutes, okay. It was just a sloppy mess. I mean, we were trying, but it was just, I mean, looking back on it, like, it was just like ice cream soup, a million different flavors. It was kind of crazy.
Yes, definitely.
So, what did the kids like the most? You mentioned you had your nephews there. What did they think?
So, I think if we were to ask either of them, it would be the Harry Potter stuff. My niece especially, she was super excited about all the Harry Potter stuff and really wanted, like when we went, they got to choose one last thing at Universal. It was riding Gringotts again for her. My nephew really was not a fan of anything resembling a thrill ride or possibly a thrill ride. And honestly, his favorite thing was probably either playing with the Legos he got at the Lego store at Disney Springs or finding one of the TVs. He just liked lounging out. But he really liked some of the more relaxing things. Like he liked Buzz. He liked the People Mover. Some of the things like that. They both really enjoyed meeting Baymax. So one of the parts that for me is just trying to figure out with all these different people, figuring out what they want to do and keeping it flexible enough that everyone could do it. And just sort of move things around as necessary. So it was definitely a different sort of experience there. But I think they definitely enjoyed the whole thing as a whole.
Sounds good. Let me ask you one more question before we get out of here, because I think you've got a unique perspective on this. You mentioned that you're a vegetarian and, you know, you have some, you know, you worry a little bit about the meals you're going to have. Tips for folks that are going down there that have never been to a Disney destination that are in your same shoes, you know, like is a buffet better because you get to kind of selectively walk up there and fill your plate, or is it better to go to like a, you know, a regular order off the menu type table service restaurant? What have you learned over the years?
That is actually one of the, I think buffets are actually very, very good for that. We actually, last time we went for Christmas, we went to Beer Garden and it was for Candlelight Processional package. And that was like, they are known for like having the eight types of meat or whatever, exactly. And it's German food, but they had lots of great stuff that I could still have. My wife still talks about the pickles from there, you know, and even a place like that, that was a buffet. There was enough that we could choose around and that they always have an option, but plenty of the, especially the sit down order off the menu places, if they don't have something, they will make something for you. Some of them even have like a special side vegetarian menu that they don't talk about that you can ask for. But we've been to Trattoria Al Forno and we're asking options. And then the waiter just kept coming back and be like, or we could do this, or we could do this, making up things that the chef could throw together for us. And Disney is one of those places that is more accommodating on that than almost anywhere. Especially when you don't have, they're really good on allergy concerns and stuff too, but if you don't have to worry about things touching each other in that way of like, they can really just leave things off, and try to customize something, leave off a side that has meat in it. So I think they're both equally good. It's just, you need to ask. There's plenty of times where I just have tried not to ask and have missed out on great food for no reason at all. And it's really just a measure of if something sounds good, just go ask them. And there have been times where we went and asked at BOMA once just to figure out their buffet situation there. And it didn't sound like there'd be enough for us. So we went back and had Brett service again instead.
Nothing wrong with that. I could do that. So before we get out of here though, what's on your, on the horizon for you? What's your next Disney adventure that you're thinking of taking or you have planned?
We are going to be going down right after Thanksgiving. My wife and I are going for hitting up Christmas again. I love Christmas a lot and love Disney a lot. And so Christmas at Disney is the happy place, Venn diagram, whatever. And so we're getting ready for that. Going to be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge again. and just trying to hit up all of the special things going down that time of year.
Oh man, Disney has just started running here in St. Well, I mean, it's a national, obviously, campaign on a cable. And it was during, I want to say it was during Monday Night Football, and it was the game where Drew Brees broke the passing record the other night. And I know three times just during the first half they ran a spot for Walt Disney World during the holidays, and I'm like, sign me up, man! It was like, yeah. And it was all like it was Christmas party. They showed a lot of the add-on type experiences, but I'm just like, man, get me a sweater. And it was still 95 degrees here in St. Louis. Like, get me a sweater and get me a plane ticket, man. I am just, holidays, for folks that haven't been there, and you've been there, like, yeah, it's hard to believe, because it's almost like going back in time to those images you get like on a Christmas card or something. It really is special down there during the holidays.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you like, the parks are great, but, we're setting aside a bunch of time just to be able to go see all the gingerbread houses at the resort. I'm definitely not missing the Wilderness Lodge tree this year. A lot of those things that you can just go and experience, because the entire resort feels festive during that time, and it's just something they do really well.
Oh, I'm going to have to look tonight. I'm going to take Mallory down for a Christmas party. I can tell. It's going to cost this podcast cost me more money than I could ever imagine. Anyway, well, Tim, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's great reliving the memories, and have a great trip after Thanksgiving. And just, again, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by two great sponsors, our friends over at touringplans.com, steering you clear of the crowds and saving you up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. So check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. And like I said, we're already talking a little bit of holidays here. Get a great book. It can get an audio book, an ebook, and just a regular old paper book from our author, Jeff Barnes. He's a great guy. Two great books, The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Perfect for the Disney fan in your life. Check out all the great offerings. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Please come on over today and join in the fun Disney talk that goes on 24/7. And again, thanks again to everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support everything we do. Easiest way to support the podcast. Anytime you're going to do some shopping on Amazon, just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it on all your devices. We'd really appreciate that as the holiday season approaches. It'd be great. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for supporting the show that way. All right, we're going to turn you loose here and let you get on with your week. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. But for Tim, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.